Yes, in 1974, I was shackled with a heavy burden. But he touched me. He touched me and made me whole. Has he touched you? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth and chapter 3. In reading verse 11. "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Last week we preached, title of our message was "Trusting in the Lord." And this week the title of our message will be "Trusting His Promises." Last week we started off by saying that we make promises. And we fail to keep those promises. Trust in the Lord. He doesn't fail to keep His promises. This week we want to look at the promise made. He said, "I will do all that thou requirest." But I want to remind you again, as we follow this portion of Scripture and through the third and the rest of the third chapter and the fourth chapter, we'll see that Boaz did not fail to keep his promise. And you and I, as the people of the Lord, Boaz, as God's child, did not fail to keep his promise. And you and I, as God's children, ought not to fail to keep our promise. When we say that we will do something, we ought to do it. If we don't, we have failed to keep the promise. We said we'd do it. That's a promise. Let's get down to earth with this. It doesn't matter what went before or what led up to it. When we say that we'll do something, we make a promise, we make a commitment, then we ought to do it. What if Boaz had said, "I'll do all that thou requirest," and then failed to do it? You say, "Well, but it wasn't in the plan of God." It's not God's will for you to renege on a promise. It's not God's will for me to renege on a promise. Boaz said, "I will do to thee all that thou requirest." I think in this statement we see on Boaz's part an eagerness as well as a willingness to do his part as a near kinsman. To do his part as a kinsman redeemer. That's what the Hebrew word is, gal. The word requirest. We would think that she is demanding of Boaz something. Well, in a sorts that is true. But as we think about the word requirest and look at it, it means, and Boaz understood, it means to say. It means to speak. So he said, I will do all that thou say. I'll do all that you have spoken. Well, if your memory's like mine, you'd say, well, what did Ruth say? What did Ruth speak to him? And then we have to go back to verse 9 to see it. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Boaz being a near kinsman, she wanted him to perform the duty of a near kinsman, of a gal. Her kinsman redeemer. That is, he was to buy all the family property, and seeing she had no children, he was to marry her and to raise up children unto his brother, Ruth's deceased husband, to his name. She, in fact, was saying to Boaz, this is the law. Obey the commandment of God. Fulfill that which the law requires of you. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 25. In verse 5. If brethren dwell together, means if there be brethren of the same family, and as you see, as you followed that law, it extended to anyone, any male member within that family. Could be uncles, as Boaz would have been to Ruth's deceased husband, if he in fact was Elimelech's brother. Or it could extend to cousins. But the nearest one that fell to him first, the nearest eligible one, and then on down the line. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife, and performed the duty of an husband's brother unto her. So that was the law governing Israel, and it extended to the male members in that family. If they had, a deceased one had no children, male or female, because if there was a female and no surviving male, then the inheritance fell to the female. So it was no child, period. Then they were to redeem the property, marry the widow, and raise up seed unto their brother. Consider this, as we consider Boaz and Ruth's request of him to obey the law, to fulfill the law's requirements. Christ came to fulfill the law. Turn with me to the book of Matthew and chapter 5 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Verse 17. I think I've got that wrote down, 17 in my notes. Yep. Yeah. Verse 17. Think, Jesus speaking here says, think not that I am come to destroy the law, to do away with it, to make it of none effect, to render it void, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to complete what was involved in completing the law and fulfilling its demands. Turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 20, in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, or came not to be served, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. There was what he came to do, fulfill the law. Pay the penalty of the law. John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3 and verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Be saved. Be what? Be delivered from the penalty of the law. You see. And that could only be done as one who fulfilled the law. The penalty of the law was death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Well, that's not a problem. I'm not a sinner. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says we're all sinners. And the penalty for that sin is death. And ever since sin entered the world, man began to die physically. And after that, the judgment. And without the law being completed on your behalf, a spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. John, I shouldn't have left John. John 10 and in verse 10, and I love this verse. Another passage of scripture I love, Brother Jesse, right up there with John 17, John 10. John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life." Who? He's talking about the sheep.
Yes.
"That the sheep might have life." He said, "I am come for the purpose that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." You see. So, the law said, "Thou shalt not." That was the moral law. And it said, "This you shall do." That was the ceremonial law. And they were bound to keep it. Obey the moral law, they were bound to obey the ceremonial law, the giving of sacrifices for sins, and even for sins that they weren't aware of. The penalty for breaking the law was death. Romans 6:23. Consider this now. Christ obeyed the law perfectly. He obeyed perfectly. He kept every word of the law, moral and ceremonial. He did all the "don't do this," and he offered sacrifice. In the book of John, chapter 8, in verse 29, Jesus, speaking there, said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father," that is the one who sent him, "and he hath not left me alone." He said, "For I do always those things that please him." Always those things that please him. I wish I could say that, huh? You see, with the new man, with the new heart, that new heart I have, that heart that has been created new, that is towards God, that's my desire to do it all. But this flesh fails to do it. But not that which is born of God, which is in me. See, the desire is still there to do perfectly his will. Read 1 John chapter 3. It tells you there that which is born of God doth not sin. It's the new man does not sin. Jesus said, "I do always those things that please him." Look at Hebrews 9 in his word to the saved Jews and to us who are saved today. He said in chapter 9, verse 14, he said, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God," without spot, no sin, and had to do with the keeping of the law, always doing that which pleased the Father, never sinning, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 19, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said there that we know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He had no flaw in him. He had no sin in him. He kept it perfectly. But then he met the demands of the law for sin. He who had no sin. Became sin. He became sin for me. He paid the penalty of sin for me. Not for himself. He had none. He was a lamb without spot and without blemish. Well, Peter put it, without blemish and without spot. To be scriptural, let's get it right. Blemish first and then without spot. Christ fulfilled the law. He kept it perfectly for me, and he offered that sacrifice for me. He didn't need to offer it for himself. Who did he offer it for? For me. And if you're here and saved today, he offered it for you as well. So Romans chapter 10 in verse 4 tells us, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To whom? To everyone that believeth. If you're here today and a believer, then he did it for you. He fulfilled the law. He became the end of the law. Kept it perfectly. Got the sacrifice for it. For the sins committed. Christ Jesus did that for me. And he did it for you this morning. Notice the word is believeth. To everyone that believeth. The day of my salvation in 1974, I believed. And I've continued to believe every day thereafter. And the desire of my heart has been to manifest that every day. And my life has not done so well at that sometimes. But the desire has been there to do that. You see, I needed one. I needed one to keep the law for me. I needed one to pay the penalty that the law demanded. If I was going to be free from the penalty of the law, I needed one to pay the penalty for me. I needed a substitute. I needed a scapegoat. Why? Well, we've already addressed that. Because we're all sinners. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians in chapter 3. In verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, sin, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. You see, the seed came to fulfill the promise made in the council halls of eternity to those that would believe. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But there wasn't a promise given of the law to give life. Amen. The promise of the law was death. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. See, the promise of Jesus Christ by faith. We have that promise given to us. As we're talking about promises this morning, and trusting in the promises. Trusting His promises. God does not lie. Amen. Like you and I. God's not a liar. God promised. And He swore by an oath. Because He could swear by no greater than Himself. He's the greatest. That's what Hebrews chapter 6 tells us. It's all about. He, Jesus Christ, was without sin. And oh, how we love Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. That Christ was in all points tempted like as we are. to try to see if He was in fact God manifested in the flesh. That's what the word tempted there means. I mean, to see if it was so. See if He could be true to the Word. Yet without sin. You see, you and I, when we're tempted, as saved individuals, sometimes we do all right, and then other times we succumb to the temptation. So it cannot be said, yet without sin. But He was without sin. You see, He was tempted in all points, like as we. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You look at Matthew chapter 4 and the other Gospels that give His temptation there. And you see, that's the manner in which Satan came to Him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Christ was without sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, another glorious passage of Scripture that we love, after it says that we that are in Christ are new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 21 tells us that He hath made Him, God hath made Him, to be sin for us, we that are saved. He made Him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? We've been talking about Jesus didn't sin. He kept the law perfectly. Well, that word new goes beyond on that even. I mean, He didn't even know how to sin. It was impossible for Him to sin. Why? Well, there's His deity. There's His divineness. He was God. Yes, He was in the flesh. And it's hard for you and I to understand that He was in the flesh and He was 100% man. Well, to you and I, that means sin. But because He was God, He couldn't sin. Oh, we have a glorious substitute, do we not? He was everything that the law demanded. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 and in verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law. That is, He will make the law great. How did He do that? Because he was everything that the law demanded. As you think about it, we couldn't expect God to give any law that would be anything less because of who God is. The law reveals to us, Galatians chapter 3, Jesus Christ reveals to us God. It is our schoolmaster to teach us about Christ, to teach us about man and our inability, teach us about God and His ability. You see, as flesh and blood, He put Himself under the law. Think about that. God came and put Himself under the law. Well, why shouldn't He? It was His law. Well, He put Himself under His law for what purpose? To show us that He was able to be a substitute. To show us that He was a suitable substitute. Substitute for what? To take my place and pay my sin debt. You see, it had to be a righteous substitute. It had to be one without blemish and without spot. To be suitable. Galatians chapter 4. The book of Galatians chapter 4 tells us that fact. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Oh, I said He was made under the law, did I not? And that's what Scripture said. That's why I said it. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He was spotless before the law. He, the spotless one, the sinless one, the holy one, became my scapegoat, became my substitute. He took my place. He took my sentence of death. My sentence of death. So that I might have life. I owe all to Him. All to Him I owe. I surrender all. And I anxiously await the day when all will be surrendered to Him. Here it is, beloved. Look with me at the book of Hebrews in chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, what things? Well, the things in the tabernacle, in the temple, when they were all furnished and all equipped and made ready, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God every day, daily into the first tabernacle, into the holy place. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year. Every year. Year after year. Continually. Not without blood. Which he offered first of all for himself. And then for the heirs, for the sins of his people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come and high priest. But Christ, did you get that? Before he was talking about the earthly priest and high priest. The earthly high priest. What they had to go through daily and yearly. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifice to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called. Have you been called? Have you been called? They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I ask again, have you been called? The 10th chapter in verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified. We're made holy by His will. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see, it's by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as offering of His own body. His, yes, His human body. That body that was 100% man went to the cross there and He shed His blood. For you and for I. That we might be made holy. Without it, we cannot be made holy. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, how could He offer only one sacrifice forever? Because He was perfect. He was the perfect Lamb of God. Sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are made holy. Have you been made holy? Have you been called? If you've been called, you've been made holy. How? Through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we stand? Have a song in closing.